Let's hit it, CC.
Oh, dang. Dang. Are you ready for this?
With your leadership, I am.
I don't usually lead. Plotkin usually does the leading, and I just kind of fumble
around. You
gotta
step up.
And make stupid comments. So I don't know how this is gonna turn out, but it's our occasionally weekly podcast. Skogahead's talking, but Plotkin has been replaced by the superior Jared Turbin.
Sure, that's quite the quite the compliment. Thanks. I feel honored to fill FC's shoes this evening.
Well, Plotkin already said that he's going to be listening to this, and I know that he's going to be shitting himself when he hears that comment. So,
yeah.
So,
I feel like a co-host or like stepping in for like Wilbon or Kornheiser on PTI.
Let's see. They had the there's multiple things that they had about it. They had the 30-minute special on ESPN. They had the 4-part PTI, like in the history podcast, and then they had the actual 20th episode. Did you listen or watch any of that?
No, none of them.
It was
actually probably pretty good. I don't know. I'm not able to watch TV around that time of the day.
Well, dude, no one watches anything live anymore, buddy.
I do.
You do?
I don't subscribe to any streaming services. I still pay for Comcast regular cable.
It doesn't come with a DVR?
It does. I don't like to record. I don't know. There's something about live TV I just like.
The commercials? What the fuck do you like about
live TV? No, I just change it. I change the channel or like sometimes in a live game, I'll pause and like go do something else for a little while, and then I'll fast forward through the commercials. Or there's like with one button, it like advances it 5 minutes at a time. I don't know. Xfinity's pretty good. It's because of live sports. I don't like the delay either on live sports from any of the streaming services.
You're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired already.
I've also never subscribed to Netflix.
I feel like I'm talking to fucking Kramer here. Like, this is just blowing my mind. Like, it's fine. Anyway. Beyond that,
I'm building levels in my apartment also.
But the interesting things about the PTI things that I listened to was that it was I didn't realize. I mean, I remember I started watching it, I think I introduced it like my senior year in college. So that would have been 2004 or 2005. And it was still relatively new then. I think it started in 2001. And it was like the first of its kind. Like now everything you see on ESPN and many things is all about people and their opinions and arguing. But it was literally the first of its kind. And not only that, it was the first show that had that rundown of what they're going to talk about. They were the first ones to do that. They're the first ones to have like a time clock. Like they broke through to what you see today. And I'll tell you, what's that?
No, that's a good point. They did have the sports reporters on Sunday morning with like Dick Schaap and then Jeremy Schaap back in the 90s.
Yeah.
But that was only on Sundays, and they didn't have like the menu off to the side with what was coming up. There? We're having audio issues, Cece. Uh-oh.
Hello? Back.
Yeah, are you back?
I got kicked off for some reason. That was weird.
Oh, all of a sudden. Oh, okay.
No, what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you see my face?
Now, yeah, I turned my video on. I didn't have my video on. You know what? I was looking at stuff. We could go off on another. I'm looking at vacations to take because I just actually accepted a new job, and I'm going to have like about almost 2 weeks off in between.
Well, before we get there, let me finish my talk. Then we'll talk about that.
Changing the subject.
Anyway,
PTI.
They were the first ones to do it. So you're talking about the sports reporters. And
yeah.
The sports reporters was like, they showed clips of that, and it was a little bit like calmer. Like it wasn't quite, the banter back and forth. And one thing I didn't realize is that Tony and Mike were friends for 20 years before they did this show.
Oh, wow.
So they've known each other for 40 years, and that's what makes the show. But anyway.
Yeah, I always had a negative opinion of Wilbon because he hit on one of my good friends from college, his now wife, at a Northwestern tailgate when she was like 25, and Wilbon was like in his 50s or something, and he tried to take her out to ask her out for dinner or something, and she was like so creeped out by him.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he's married, I think, or at least he was at the time.
The one thing I will say that was I found very intriguing is that Tony, Mike, and Tony Reale got invited to visit the White House, and they actually got to go meet Obama, and they didn't realize they were in the Oval Office, like when they were actually talking to him. So that's something that comes out in the podcast. Anyway, new job. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's very, very similar to my current job, but just with a different company, a better company, and it's still in like finance, FP&A, but it's
fully remote.
It has nothing to do with gold. No, it's working for a software company that they have this like artificial intelligence software to like improve customer service departments, and they're a public company called LivePerson. Their stock's done really well. They just made two new acquisitions they announced like a couple days ago. And it seems like a pretty good opportunity. And I've been in my current job for over 6 years and it's gotten kind of stagnant. And there's not as much opportunity for for more advancement or growth there. So I'm taking a new job. I start December 1st and I'm staying out of my company for another couple weeks, mainly to help out my boss, who's a really nice guy, and because it's going to be putting him in a tough spot because our CFO and our boss, they didn't really put any processes in place to like have any redundancy or someone who could like fill in for me if I'm gone.
And so, clearly you are irreplaceable, Turbin. There is nobody like you. So it's going to put the company
at a major, yeah. I probably could have used my leverage a little bit more, but either way, I wanted to get out of there. The company, it's time to move on. So I'm
where are you going to vacation to?
It's somewhere to go. Unfortunately, I don't really have anyone to go with because most of my friends are married and or have kids. And the couple that don't, it's like I'm looking at going like the weekend before Thanksgiving. So people probably don't want to be traveling on a vacation there when they're going to be traveling during Thanksgiving. So speaking of which, what are your Thanksgiving plans, Aaron?
I'm working.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, both me and Poche are working. My parents are coming down to take care of the kids and make us Thanksgiving dinner. So that's that.
Sounds good. If any of the Skokie heads are listening, happen to listen to the pod and have any vacation recommendations, I did find an article. Actually, it was on the Tribune's website. I didn't even mean to find it about like the top landmarks in each state, and there's some like really cool place in Alaska that seemed interesting. I'm like, maybe I should go to Alaska.
I feel like a little ride down the canals in Venice with Costa sounds like the type of trip that is right up your alley.
Also, Costa can't even leave like the suburbs because of pandemic concerns. So leaving Cook County, even fortunately. I've talked to him about we should take a trip to Greece. He can visit some of his relatives. He hasn't seen it. I don't think Kostas has been to Greece in like 20 years or something. But
Greece is a gorgeous place. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've never been there either. So
you're missing, bye-bye. Dude. Greece is right up your alley, especially the Greek islands. Dancing, or drinking.
Googling,
you know, all that good stuff.
Uh-huh. All right, let's move on to football.
Yeah. If anyone, they're probably not even listening anymore. So anyway, let's wrap up last week real quick. All right. Do the stuff open at all?
I will in a second.
I'll entertain people with some elevator music while you do that.
We can start. I know what happened in my match list.
All right, let's start with yours then while that comes up. So It was good old, pillow fight. You know, garbage matchup between you and Pluck, and of who was gonna, you know, pull out a win with an undeserving.
And it was a pretty big matchup, especially for me, because now I'm tied with him in points. And I forgot, is the first tiebreaker head-to-head, or is it more points? It's more points, right?
It's more points is the first tiebreaker.
So I'm in third place right now with my best player having missed most of the season. Although they said McCaffrey's back at practice this week. I don't think he's expected to play, but it hasn't been decided
yet. Hopefully he doesn't work too hard and set himself back again. So
yeah,
he seems to not, you know, ease himself in like he should, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to find, or maybe if I click here, where do I trying to find the whole exact shows week 8, the prior week matchups all in one spot on the website.
All right, I'll tell you. Go under reports.
Okay.
Go to franchise. Go to weekly results.
Oh, very easy. Reports, franchise. Weekly results. I know our good buddy Costa. Oh yeah, he actually had a big win against Josh last week.
Hey, you gotta do one matchup at a time. Let's go into it. You versus Plock in
more in-depth analysis. I mean, it was a pretty uneventful matchup. There wasn't neither of our score. I mean, fortunately, I got a big game. I got a big game from Josh Allen. Fortunately.
Each that scored more than like 3 points, blah 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 blah. Basically, Emmanuel Sanders lays a goose egg, you pull out an unexciting win to tie it up. So
exactly, Plockett's
team unfortunately is in a little bit of a tailspin between injuries and COVID and whatnot. Your team is getting healthy with Christian McCaffrey's coming back and having all those points, so you're on the up and up. All right.
Yeah, fortunately, I'm in the weaker division too, because otherwise my team would just be kind of middle of the pack or probably not even in the playoffs. But these things, the arrow is pointed up for me at the moment. The next matchup was big one between Tony and Daniel. That might have been the largest margin of victory all year, 150 to 67. And it looks like Joey's luck might finally be running out a little bit. Obviously, his two quarterbacks had, which are his two best players, they had bad games. And James Robinson, who's been pretty solid, also had a really disappointing game. Whereas Daniel, Tampa's defense got 0 points, but all of his skill position players had double-digit points. Justin Fields, obviously, had his best game from a fantasy perspective, and Elijah Mitchell, too, big game. So, yeah, Daniel's team, I know everybody seems to be really high on him, and obviously Cooper Kupp has been, like, the best. Except for the now injured Derrick Henry, Cooper Kupp's been pretty much one of the best players in the league. I'm lucky enough to have him in one of my two sober leagues. And I mean, Daniels probably has the best team in the weaker division at the moment, but there's so much uncertainty and injuries and
idiots like him. Before his team goes with Cooper Kupp. You know, when Cooper Kupp has a great game, he's going to do well. And Cooper Kupp doesn't, he's not going to do well. So, and I think you pointed out some, you know, I think Kyler Murray is trailing off. And with that, so is Weitzman's team. His strong side's the quarterbacks. His quarterbacks don't produce, his team's not going to produce. And so if his quarterbacks are not going to be up for it the whole season, Weitzman's team will lose the stranglehold on, you know, being in the playoffs. So.
Perhaps, yeah, I think Joey needs to look into making a trade. I haven't gotten any offers from him or my good buddy Kosu, who I talked to quite a bit, hasn't mentioned anything about any offers.
I don't know what he would trade.
Murray, maybe. I don't know. Or Kyle Pitts.
Maybe someone wants to do those trades.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to at least see a couple big trades finally happen. I'm sure we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
But, yeah. And then the third matchup in that division, Coast had a pretty solid win over Josh's team, who is kind of trending in the wrong direction now. Even though Josh had decent performances from both of his quarterbacks, And CeeDee Lamb was all right, but
Josh's team was garbage, and he with the trades he made, he's done. And I don't blame him. His team was garbage. He was not going anywhere. Costa's team, like, you know, no one player, like, exploded. He just had consistent production from each of them.
Wow.
And I think this is what Costa's team can be when Costa doesn't have extremely bad luck. So, you know, I think Costa's team,
a lot of potential. I mean, Stephon Diggs has underperformed quite a bit. I've got him in one of my sober leagues, and he's got a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. I know he had an easy schedule last week also and didn't do much, but I think he's going to have a really big game this week. He's definitely overdue, and they're playing Jacksonville. Keenan Allen finally did well. Herbert obviously hasn't been as good the past couple weeks, but yeah, Costa could very easily, I don't know if he can win the division, but he could very easily make the playoffs and make a run to the championship with his team, which, Costa's obviously, it's always funny in the rankings. He's always very down on his team. I think some of it is he doesn't want to jinx it, or he doesn't want to come off.
It's 100% he doesn't want to jinx it. It's 100%. Costa's team has had bad luck from the beginning. It's starting to come together, but is it too little too late? We'll see.
Sound like a TV host with the way you phrase that.
I've been practicing for a very long time.
Uh-huh. All right, then moving on to your division. We had the Fiala family plant with pretty good size win.
Oh, I just want to put this out there. Like, Fred paid up his fines
in
less than like an hour when I sent him the request. So he's a man of his word. He looks to be paying attention now. So he's in it. He's playing.
Yeah, he has some talent on his team. He has two really good running backs who, unfortunately, last week both had terrible games in Chubb and Fournette. And Fournette had been looking really good the prior several weeks. And he got good games from Godwin and Lockett, but yeah, like the Bears defense got him -1 points. It's
always been about the quarterbacks for his team. His quarterbacks are just hot garbage.
Oh, yeah. And last week he only played Roethlisberger. He didn't play.
It didn't matter. Like, the quarterbacks are not, they're not consistent. They're not good. They're not going to get you more than 20 points in a week. You're not going to be moving. You're not going to be getting very far with that. So, and Fiala's team, like, his quarterbacks were weak. He made a move. His running backs are really strong. So, Fiala's got a fighting chance.
You right over there, Dr. Dan?
I got something. I don't know what it is, but I got something.
You got me coughing a little. Yeah, Fiala's definitely got
through the phone.
A chance or a legit shot. I don't have the standings up, but is Steve in? Is he in top three in your guys' division at the moment?
No, I think it's Grant, Rossett, and me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I know. You especially, yeah. I don't know, your team. A lot of uncertainty.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, we'll get there right now, right? Big, I was looking at potential points. So, 13-ish point victory by Grant last week against you?
Yep.
With, AJ Brown obviously coming on with his probably his best game of the year, and his arrow should be pointing up. With Derrick Henry getting hurt and then probably going to be forced to throw the ball more.
My star player shat the bed. That's what it comes down to. You know, like I had Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins in the afternoon. They didn't do shit. And Travis Kelce, I mean, I watched that Monday night game. The Chiefs look fucking terrible right now. So, if Cook and Kelce don't turn it around, I'm not going anywhere.
And Eckler had a decent game, but he's been a little inconsistent lately, right? And McLaurin had a bad game. Yeah. So you got enough talent on your team there where you can definitely still make a run.
Yeah, I think I'll make the playoffs. I just, you know, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yep. And then the last matchup we have, Dix. Very disappointing week.
Yeah. Dix went down, big time down.
Dix went down. Rossett, Tyreek Hill had a pretty decent game. Nothing spectacular, but Mahomes obviously didn't do so well, and he still put up 148 points.
Deebo Samuel has been unstoppable and is one of the top two best picks of the best values of the draft. I would say Deebo Samuel and Mike Williams, right. Which has been solid. And Brandon Cooks can be consistent.
But I take a little bit of a different view. One, Deebo Samuel's been really good, in part because Kittle's been hurt for the last few weeks. And Kittle, I think, is expected back this week, actually.
Deebo Samuel's been doing it since the game one when Kittle was on the field. So, and Brandon Deebo Cooks. Samuel has always had the talent. He flashed like this 3 years ago in his rookie season, and he was hurt most of the last season. So it's not a shock. It's not, it's a shock of how well he's doing. It's not a shock that he's producing, but just how well it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Ridiculous.
But looking at Jeff's other players, Brandon Cooks, I think, got his touchdown in garbage time last week. And Joe Mixon, 23. I just feel like Joe Mixon is one of the most injury-prone starting running backs in the league. I you can't expect him to put up over 15 points most weeks, I don't think. And then for Ty Johnson, the second string running back on the Jets, got 17 points. I mean, I think Jeff's team played pretty much right at its ceiling last week overall.
I'm not that high on
Jeff's team unless he can get Mahomes back to the level he had been at in the past couple of years.
I'm going to take it back like 7 years right now. This is not the first time that Ross had picked up some random no-name person Sunday during the day to put them in their lineup and have them do well. Way back game that Miles Austin played for the Cowboys, Rossett picked him up, put him in the lineup, and that's when Miles Austin had two touchdowns and 100 yards. No one knew who the fuck he was, and somehow Rossett put him in his lineup. And he played me and beat me, and so he's got some sort of magic touch for picking up these random
people. Miles Austin had a year or two where he was a really good receiver. I remember he was like dating Kim Kardashian for a while, I think.
And then he fell off. Then he just
he got a big contract, like I think over $50 million or something from the Cowboys, and like was only good for like one more year after that. And
injuries caught up with him, and then around and I'm pretty sure he was dating Kim Kardashian and Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson, if I remember correctly.
Oh, at the time, yeah.
Lots of random facts.
Looking at the standings, so your division. Yeah, Grant obviously has a 4-point lead at the moment. Jeff with 15, you 13, Steve 12, me till 9, and Fred 6. I mean, everyone's still in, especially with an additional week of the regular season now. Things are pretty up there. And even in my division, too, Coast is only 2 points back of me and Plotkin. Josh is like the only team that's really, really out of it. But and even Plotkin and I are only 5 and 6 points back of Tony and Daniel. So,
it's determined. About halfway through, a little bit over the halfway through the regular season for us. And things are, there's still, it's anyone's game. So, what are your thoughts on the trades that went down?
It was refreshing and nice to see that there was finally some activity, because I feel like the past couple of years there haven't been, especially not like really any kind of blockbuster trades like this. It was trying to pull up the details at the moment. 1 second. Reports, franchise transactions, because I just wanted to make sure I didn't misspeak about anything in particular. But yeah, when Josh made it, I mean, this happened right after it was announced that Derrick Henry got hurt, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first trade he made, the first trade he made was with Steve. I mean, they both went through like minutes apart. So the one with Steve went through first, actually, though, where, Josh gave up Adams and Burrow for pretty much for Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase is, I would say Ja'Marr Chase has been the steal of the draft, even more so than Mike Williams. Ja'Marr Chase has been more consistent. Mike Williams
fair enough. Yeah.
Trailed off the past couple of weeks. I did a lot of research, more so this year than any other year going into the season. And several people I listened to were pretty high in Ja'Marr Chase. And then, but then he had those issues with the drops in the preseason and scared me off. And then I didn't want to draft him. And also people didn't know what Burrow was going to be like coming back from his ACL. But anyways, for Josh to trade those two just for Chase, given how weak our division is, I didn't think that was such a great, I'm kind of surprised Josh was willing to give up on the season essentially with still 5 or 6 weeks left of the regular season.
Have you seen Josh's team?
Yeah, but I guess to get Ja'Marr Chase is good. To get Derrick Henry,
there's no way Josh's team is making a run. There's nothing on his team of any value except for Davante Adams.
Well, he had Burrow and CeeDee Lamb and Daryl Henderson. I mean, those are four pretty decent players.
Daryl Henderson is not going to play every single game for the rest of the season. He won't. I don't blame Josh for doing this. Anyway, my first point. Do you have a problem with any of the trades? Do you think any of them were unfair? Do you think any of them should be vetoed? Anything like that? Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's like there's really like clear evidence of collusion, no trade should really be. I mean, I can understand why people might be upset or like frustrated by it, but it's just like the nature of things. If you're going to play and have a keeper, it's going to lead to a bit more lopsided trades in terms of the impact for the remainder of this season. But that's how it is in real sports also, where teams that are out of playoff contention.
I'm of the same thought. Like if two teams or two managers agree on a trade, then they agreed on the trade. Unless there's proven collusion where some team is clearly giving away the barn to get nothing at all. But that's not what happened here. Josh is getting people that he could potentially keep. He knows he's out of the season. It is what it is, you know? Like, I think that the trade with Fiala is relatively equal, you know? Adams and Ja'Marr Chase are in the same tier as far as receiver. One just happens to be a keeper. Quarterbacks, you know, Joe Burrow is better than Trevor Lawrence, but Joe Burrow's not a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's a top 15, but he's inconsistent still. But like, does it help Fiala's team out significantly? Yeah, because Fiala's quarterbacks were relatively weak. So, but it's not like Joe Burrow is like a top 10 quarterback. And the other trade is, you know, I feel like is a little bit more one-sided. Like Grant gave up nothing of real value to him right now to get two legit starters. But is what it is, you know? Like, Josh has the ability to keep Derrick Henry at a discount or keep Ja'Marr Chase now.
Yeah, I was always kind of skeptical of Henry this year, just given his workload the past few years. I'm sure a lot of people were and just figured, like, but then, like, I know the prior week, he didn't have a great game, but like the 3 or 4 weeks before that, obviously he was the best player in the league by far. He had like three touchdown games already this year. It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was kind of like LT 06 level production.
It's funny because I remember there was like a 4 or 5 year span where LT was like consistently, you know, not, you know, there was like a 3 year span where he was like the second or third best running back each season, but never the top one because there was Larry Johnson, Sean Alexander, blah, 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 blah. But he was always like towards the top. But no one ever mentioned the workload in regards to him ever. You know? Like it wasn't like, oh, he got these many touches, he's going to fall off the cliff. No one ever said anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think they said it. It was kind of like before the days of like more load management, which I know is more obviously more used in the NBA, but they do monitor carries more of the running backs in the NFL these days now too. Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, I don't know which trade Josh, if he was kind of working on both, I'm assuming he was working on both of them simultaneously and they went through it right about the same time and he figured he might as well just make both of them. His team's not going anywhere. This week he has two potential keepers. If for some reason, yeah, like Jamar Chase were to get hurt toward the end of the season also, and he's not, and it looked like he wouldn't be ready for next year or something, then yeah, then it might, then he's kind of got another backup plan in Henry. So I wish I didn't bother. I've been kind of kicking myself now for not trying to make a trade with someone like Josh, who was kind of out of contention. Like I would have been happy to trade him. Like my keeper is DK Metcalf for Lamb and Henderson. I would have done something like that, but, I'm sure, but the big people that he got are better values than DK Metcalf.
I don't know. I mean, DK Metcalf, you kept for $6. So next year, it's going to be 11. Jamar Chase went for it, but it was somewhere between $10 to $20. So,
yeah, that's, and Lamb, I actually, right, isn't, or Lamb went for, I'm assuming
Lamb's
he went
not a keeper.
High 20s.
I don't think Lamb's a keeper.
Or yeah, he's a rookie. Or no, he's a second year player, right?
But I don't think he. I think he went for over $30. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, is that the rule? I forgot. Okay, I was getting confused with the keeper rule in my other league.
No, keepers are for 30. Anything that values like $30 or below.
So and what Derrick is Derrick Henry's? Yeah,
Derrick Henry. So Grant drafted Derrick Henry for I think $20 2 years ago. So he kept him for $25 this year. He gets to keep him for Josh can keep him for 1 year for $30 next year, which is a steal for arguably, you know, the top one or two running back off the board next year, depending on how, you know, things play out with his injury. I don't know. So let's put a value to it. Derrick Henry for 30. And let's say Jamar Chase is for 17. Keeping between those two today.
Yeah, I'd rather have Chase, I think, just because he's a lot younger earlier in his career. I don't know. With Henry, I feel like the team will be more cautious with him next year, too, limiting his carries a bit more.
I agree with all that, but I also think that, like, with Jamar Chase, you get to keep him for multiple years, you know? Like,
that's the other thing.
Yeah, you get to keep him for probably 3 years. And if this is where he's starting at as a rookie, and then all these reports are that he's like the best prospect in years, I mean, this is what he's starting at. You know, he's going to take another step and another step. You know, if you think back to what, I don't know if you remember what Devontae Adams was like out of his rookie year. He came into the league. That was the year that Jordy Nelson got hurt and didn't play. Devontae Adams was garbage, complete and utter garbage. All right, his first year. Second year, I think he started to, like, you know, put it together. And I think by the third year is when he started to really, like, separate himself to being close to where he is now. So Jamar Chase is already there. And he's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you keep Jamar Chase because you get a few years of top-tier wide receiver talent at a discount.
Right, yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I think you should keep Chase too. But like, is Chase having? Didn't Justin Jefferson last year had a great rookie year? I mean, I haven't compared the stats, but I would think Chase's stats right now are pretty similar. They may be slightly better than how Jefferson was doing at this point last year. But Chase also probably is a better quarterback with Burrow than Kirk Cousins, who's can look really good some weeks, but then pretty bad other weeks.
Yeah, I don't know how the stats play out, but based on how it was, I mean, there's a 3 or 4 game span where he was definitely putting up more points, at least fantasy wise, than Justin Jefferson was last year. But I think, you know, you're welcome, Josh, for that free advice. All right, let's go into this week's matchups.
Sounds good. You want to start with here? We'll start with your division this time, then, if I can get there. Oh, yeah, we got scores already. We got a lot of scores. Wow, a lot of people playing. Probably the Colts, not too many people playing Jets players. But, oh, yeah, the two normal co-hosts battling it out this week, actually.
No, I can't believe that Clocken wanted to duck away from this. We had a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah, he got that. Yeah, Naheem Hines. Did he have Hines on the team?
What's that?
Prior to this week, or did he just pick him up this week?
I think he picked him up. And, dude, I'm playing Naheem Hines in my other league, too. And I looked at he had one game where he hit 16 points. Everything else has been like 4 or 5. And I'm like, really? This fucking week? I'm playing him in both
leagues? Yeah, and it's not a great matchup because it's not like the Colts are playing from behind in this game. But in the Jets, rush defense has been pretty decent this year.
I could like not believe one... that he scored a 30-yard fucking touchdown. So
and he's
fucking
got,
annoying.
Got 18.8 points at the moment. And your team, but you got, 14.9 for Pittman. Fortunately, they overturned that touchdown call correctly because he definitely did get his half control of the ball with 2 feet down before he got knocked out first half. And Michael Carter, Carter had a huge game last week, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I had to start him this week because one of my McLaurin's on a bye and I didn't have another receiver to start. So it was either Carter or Khalil Herbert. And I don't know if Montgomery's going to be back. So I put Carter in the lineup.
Where's Zach Moss?
The thing is, Zach Moss is his floor is a lot lower than Carter's because they split in time.
Although they have a pretty easy matchup against Jacksonville this week, and Buffalo tends to score a lot of points against bad teams.
But
I think
still...
I would have played Moss if I were you, but easy to say. Well, somewhat in hindsight, with Carter not having a great game.
He still got me 8 points so far. Like, that's not
terrible.
Yeah,
not terrible. That's true.
From your flex position, essentially. So.
All right. Next division. Oh, so every matchup is inter-division this week.
Oh, yeah.
So we.
Yeah.
We'll go on. I'll go to the next matchup. The team with the highest points so far this week is the Fiala family. Wow, Taylor. Oh, my goodness. 39 points. Didn't realize he was having that great of a game. 18 for 172. Yeah, Taylor's been really solid. And this game, especially with splitting carries a bit with Hines. Obviously, he still has the majority of the carries, but whereas Daniel doesn't have anyone going in this game. But nice from my perspective to see Steve get up to a big lead since Daniel's in my division. And he's got Dak. So Dak is expected back this week, right, for Daniel?
Yeah. Oh, wait. You didn't say who's going to win between me and Plockett. What do you think? You got to call it.
I would say you. His team just doesn't have that much talent. His team is. This is probably the worst team Plotkin's had in quite a long time in our league. What do you say?
He's been decimated by injuries right now.
His bench is like almost everyone on his bench is better than everyone on the starters.
At a good time. Yeah. So they got Brady, Brown, Antonio Gibson, all these people that are hurt.
And then Kareem Hunt and Kittle. Oh, Kittle may be back, but either way, you caught him in a really good time. So, you should definitely win, which is good for me. And
so, sorry, going back to Fiala
to Steve.
And Myers.
So, Steve's got especially after this trade. I would say Steve should definitely beat Daniel this week. Daniel's going to need a big game, obviously, for Cooper Kupp again, who should have a good game. He's got a good matchup. And then Najee Harris and Elijah Mitchell, too. He's going to need big games from him.
To Justin Fields. Can Justin Fields put
Monday
up similar
night.
Points? But they're playing the Steelers, so I don't think they will. So. I think it's a close matchup, but I think Fiala pulls it off.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with the 39 points from Taylor. He's off to a huge start.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the biggest games for running back this year. Outside of Derrick Henry. Speaking of Derrick Henry, we've got the two teams involved in the Derrick Henry trade going up against each other with, you like that segue slash transition?
That was seamless. You're ready for this role, Wentz, buddy.
Yeah, Wentz with a good game. Man, I had Wentz as my fourth quarterback that I drafted this year, and he started out so poorly, I got rid of him. Unfortunately, should have kept him instead of either Matt Ryan or Baker. But Wentz has, 24 points for Grant so far. And Josh has 4 points from the Colts defense. Kind of surprising he hasn't gotten more, given the Jets are now on their third string quarterback with Mike White getting hurt, who I was very disappointed to see because I had to play him in one of my sober leagues where my only other quarterback is Russell Wilson. And just one thing I want to point out about that is in my other league, no starting quarterbacks are ever available or ever get dropped. In our league, people don't seem to value quarterbacks quite as highly. And the scoring system is almost identical between the two leagues. So I don't know why it is, but
how many teams and how many quarterbacks can you play in that league?
It's the same. It's 12 teams with like a super flex position. So you almost always want to play a quarterback.
But I mean, there's not that many quarterbacks available on the waiver wire.
That's true. There are, but there usually is one or two or sometimes three, especially at the beginning of the season, there were a couple, whereas in other league, there's never any. I stupidly didn't draft a second quarterback, and I was only at Russell Wilson. Then when he got hurt, I was lucky to pick up Davis Mills for a week. I played Mike Glennon for 1 week, and why Mike White. Yeah, I don't know. I spent too much of my money on other players, and
I find that very surprising based on how your draft strategy normally is that you didn't draft a second quarterback in that league.
Right. And I have really good receivers. I've been trying to make a trade, but everyone values quarterbacks so highly in that league. I haven't been able to get a trade, or some of it maybe being a bit stubborn and overvaluing my players on my team. But anyways, all right, that's enough sidetrack on that topic. Grant should very easily beat Josh this week, given the gap in talent between their two teams now, especially after this trade. Let's move on to Costa and Fred. Oh, Fred at the moment, three guys on buys in a starting lineup. Hopefully, four guys, excuse me, once you include his kicker. Hopefully, he'll adjust accordingly.
Costa should.
Okay, good. And whereas Costa's got, Costa obviously had a solid week last week, and the Cordarrelle Patterson pickup has turned out really, really good for him as well. That was something we didn't mention earlier, but neither of them has anyone playing in this game tonight, but I think Costa should definitely win this matchup. What do you think?
I think so. I think last week showed that what Costa is capable of, and his team, like I said, no one from that week put up more than, but everyone put up between 10 to 15.
Defense was the only one that had more than 20.
Yeah. So, but I agree. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's been in the league for like 8 or 9 years, and this is the first time he's been consistently in starting lineups. I don't know what they were able to unlock with him in Atlanta that couldn't be done anywhere else, but you know what? He's worthy of a starting spot. And I think Boston Scott's a good play. I think I'm kicking myself because like Boston Scott's been there. He's done this role before, and everyone was on the Gainwell bandwagon, but we knew what we got. We get with Boston Scott. So,
It was surprising though, like last week to see, and I'm sure our good buddy Tony was really upset that all the rushing touchdowns from the Eagles went to their second and third string running backs last week, and none of them to Hurts. Between Scott and Costa picked up Scott prior to last week, which is pretty savvy of him. Boston Scott hasn't done much at all prior to last week, right? Like, I figured Gainwell was going to get the majority of the carries, but didn't turn out that way. So, and then we've got, we'll save you for last, Aaron. We've got your matchup for last. We've got Dix against KJK this week.
You already talked about a matchup, buddy.
Oh, I did? Oh, you're right. I did. I'm sorry. All right. Well, either way, we'll move on. That's my co-hosting inexperience. Man, that cough. I hope you're doing something about it. Dix, he has Mo Alie-Cox playing. He's only put up 3.3 points so far. And Mito still has, he hasn't set his lineup really for this week, at least not completely, because he's got DeAndre Swift still in on him, who's on a bye. He does not have Lamar Jackson in, who was on a bye last week. I mean, Mito's got two really, really good quarterbacks in Stafford and Lamar Jackson. But he had what was looking like a great receiver in Mike Williams up until the past few weeks. And then Hopkins has been, I would say, a considerable disappointment relative to his draft position.
Agreed.
But both, I think for Mito, it's going to come down to his quarterbacks pretty much, and Ezekiel Elliott too, but mostly if his quarterbacks can put up big games, which they probably should, especially Stafford against Tennessee, who has a really, really crappy defense. Whereas for me, yeah, my team kind of, I mean, Josh Allen's.
I'm taking Mito. I like it. I like Mito's team. I think Mito's got a pretty solid team. He had a poor showing last week, but I like Mito's got a pretty solid team. So.
Yeah, my team somehow, I don't know how my team has scored as much points as they have, because if you look at the players on my team, they're, no one's really that impressive except for Josh Allen, and obviously McCaffrey, if he comes back, it'd be really nice if that happens this week, but not expecting it to. Damian Harris has kind of turned things around the past few weeks, which has been nice.
Yeah.
And some of it was, that was, he was one of the guys that was kind of targeting in the drafts just based on research. It seemed like people thought this was one of the few years where he would actually rely on one running back, kind of how he did with LeGarrette Blount like 3 or 4 years ago, when he had, what, like 18 touchdowns in the regular season. I wasn't necessarily expecting Harris to get that many, but figured he would be their workhorse back this year. Chuba Hubbard has been a bit of a disappointment. I mean, obviously he's filling in for one of the best running backs in the league, but he hasn't been so good. My receivers have been kind of and this week, DK had a bye. I picked up Van Jefferson because from looking, there weren't too many decent wide receiver options available on the waiver wire. But Jefferson's been, had a couple decent games. I think he's actually had over 10 points the past 2 weeks. They released DeSean Jackson, who was their somewhat deep threat when he would get on the field. So he's gone, and he's got a good matchup against Tennessee. He's got a pretty shitty defense. So maybe I can catch lightning in a bottle on something with Van Jefferson this week. And Pat Freiermuth. I've been following him because since Juju got hurt a couple weeks ago, Freiermuth has been getting a lot more targets. He caught a touchdown last week for the Steelers. And I'm kind of glad I'm not playing Noah Fant, who I had been playing because he was kind of ranked higher than any of my other options or any of the free agent options. But
he's been garbage.
He hasn't done much. Yeah, and since I have Cortland Sutton too, I just like Kevin. I don't really want to have two receivers on an offense that's not very high powered like the Broncos.
That was mentioned on the pod a couple weeks ago. Looks like you listened.
Yeah. So, well, the only reason, maybe not the only reason, but Fant is on the COVID list also. So, but I'm going to play Freiermuth regardless. And I'm going to need a big game probably from the Steelers defense on Monday night against the Bears. And the Steelers defense has been not nearly as good as last year. They've been all right, but I definitely need a big game from them. But yeah, Mito, I would put Mito as a bit of a favorite against me. Although fortunately for my sake, at least it helps a little bit that the one guy he has going tonight only has 3 points. So, all right. In the last matchup, we've got rolling with Mahomes against Tony. Tony still hasn't changed his team name. I feel like not many of us have from past years, but he's got his real name on here. He's got to change it up a little.
He's not the only one. You got Josh, Fred. I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's true. For some reason, I don't know. She always just bothers me the most. I don't know why. But Jeff picked up. Oh yeah, Jeff with the big free agent splash this week with Taysom Hill. What he bid $130 on him.
Yep.
I mean, I guess it seems like a lot, $130, because I think in most leagues, at least in my two other leagues, you only get $100. And obviously, the dollar value itself doesn't matter. It's all relative, but it's all it seems relative, like a lot. Exactly. But Taysom Hill could end up being a really good quarterback, obviously, with the rushing options. The thing is, he's kind of injury prone, especially given he likes to run the ball a lot. He's more susceptible to getting hurt again than most quarterbacks, I think.
I mean, I really wanted him to be something because I wanted him to as an option, but I wasn't willing to spend that much. But yeah. I don't think it's a bad call. I mean, Frosted has a decent team, and his glaring weakness was a second QB. So,
yeah,
there's no other second QB that's coming around that's going to be of this caliber on the waiver wire. So I don't blame him for doing that.
Right. And his new favorite player, Ty Johnson, has 11 points for him tonight with a touchdown.
He's got more than Michael Carter. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I think Johnson got like a kind of garbage time touchdown a couple minutes ago in the fourth quarter. That's the only one in their matchup who's playing tonight. Joey, on the other hand, he's got a lot of question marks. I mean, Kyle Pitts has been playing better, although I don't know. He didn't have as good of a week this past week, I don't think. DJ Moore had been really good the first few weeks of the season, as you're familiar with Darnold, and he's trailed off a bit lately. Yeah, but Joey kind of all comes down to his quarterbacks. I mean, between Hurts and Murray. But, yeah, I don't think
I'm going with Jeff. I don't think James Robinson's going to play. Yeah. Whiteson's receivers are weak this week. And I like Ross's team. His receivers are cooking. I think the Chiefs are playing Green Bay without Rodgers. I think they're going to put things on track. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to throw 3 touchdown passes to Travis Kelce because I fucking need it.
I do too. Yeah. In my other league. And I don't know if you noticed, Aaron, but we both kind of agreed on who we expect to win in each matchup, and all 6 of the teams we expect to win this week are in your division.
Sorry,
5 of the 6. It's Costa and Fred.
Okay.
5 of the 6. Maybe for my sake, at least, it'd be nice if I get a lot of victory. But yeah, I mean, it just shows, I think this is the biggest disparity between like strength levels within the two divisions. Would you agree, of any year we've had?
I mean, it's crazy that's how it came down, especially about how the draft went down.
Yeah.
But that just shows I don't know, just how different things seem at the beginning of the season and how it plays out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is a little bit, well, so far the injuries have impacted my division more with McCaffrey for me. I mean, Kittle for Brian, who there's got to be a couple other really good players that have. Costa, Gus Edwards, and who else? And Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that those are necessarily star players, but those guys got hurt like right at the beginning of the season for him. Whereas there weren't too many injuries in your division up until obviously Derrick Henry now.
What about Saquon?
Oh yeah, that's right. But Saquon, I don't know. I don't think people are necessarily. I mean, he was considered right a first or second round pick, but he wasn't. I don't know. I was pretty skeptical of him. I think a lot of people, just given his injury history.
I agree.
And who is Aaron Rodgers in our league now?
Grant.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Rodgers has to miss more than just this week or not. Do you have any? Have you heard
anything? I heard that he's first eligible to come back a week from Saturday.
Oh, all right. But it seems like, right, he was able and or trying to get, like, kind of special treatment in terms of, like, less restrictions at their facilities compared to other players that aren't vaccinated, right?
I don't know. He's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw Greg Jennings was on, while I was having lunch today, he was on, like, Fox Sports. And he's, I guess, was kind of a good friend of Rodgers when they played together, and he was very critical of him, just saying, like, what a bad teammate he's been through this thing now, and yeah, he's yeah, it just shows what a moron Rodgers is.
Yep. And now I think less of Shailene Woodley.
yeah. I mean,
good for Olivia Munn for getting away from that crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Well, I know they dated for a while, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know much more about. I don't know if there was something specific in their relationship that.
No,
you
No, I didn't know with. If you knew that okay. who I was talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I know.
Or any of that kind of, okay. I wasn't
even,
sure.
Even though I don't have streaming services, I know who most celebrities are. yeah. All right. So what's next on the pod? Anything else left to discuss?
I think that's it. I mean, I think we're how long have we been going for? I feel like
it's yeah, this is quite hour. A while.
We're at 51 minutes already. So
yeah.
Anything you want to end with?
Who's your pick to win the league right now? Would you say?
Ooh, that's a good question, man. Oh man.
Can we get a finals? Get a finals matchup prediction, and then who's gonna win the matchup? Yeah. That's a tough one.
Huh. It is. Because I'll tell you. Before with the Derrick Henry injury, I thought that it would have been me, but I'm with that trade. I'm going to put Grant as coming out of our my division, and Man. Oh, man. I don't know who's going to win your guys' division.
Guy, just pick someone.
I'll go with Myers. Myers, okay. He's got, I think he's got some of the top talent, the most concentrated talent in that league, but whoever comes out of my division is going to win it all. That's how I feel.
I'm going to say, while Grant's team might have the most talent, I'm going to go with Steve, actually.
Damn. Now after
this trade helps him quite a bit, too, I think, getting maybe not a ton, but Adams is probably a little bit of an upgrade on Jamar Chase and getting Burrow as well, especially where since he needed help at quarterback. I don't know. I think the whole Aaron Rodgers thing is going to bring a little bit of bad karma possibly to Grant's team. So I'm going to say Steve, and I think Steve's going to win the league by beating yours truly in the finals for my fourth. Or is it my fourth? Would it be my fourth or fifth second place finish in the league?
I don't know. Oh,
I think it's one or the other. I think I've definitely finished, second three times, possibly four times. But I think if McCaffrey comes back and is reasonably healthy, I've got a pretty decent chance to get to the finals, given the weakness in my division.
Well, that'll be interesting. If because I have come in fourth twice. So
You've come in second four times, you mean?
Yes, that's what I meant. I've come in second four times.
Uh-huh.
So I'm either tie or you are tied with me right now, so you have to look, and I don't know off the top of my head, but all right, we'll see who's right. That's I like your analysis there. I stand by what I thought, and we'll see what it comes down to being.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me as a co-host. This is fun.
I think you got the job. I think Plotkin's
I'm not nearly Plotkin. I don't know if I have the time for this every Thursday, but Brian had his big 5:30 a.m. basketball game tomorrow, so.
No. Oh, I know. All right. Till next time.
Sounds good. Get yourself some chicken soup if you can find a nice Jewish deli in Texas to deal with that throat problem you're having.
My throat's not bothering me. It's just a cough. It's just an annoying cough.
All right.
Bye.
Take care now. Bye.